Hi, my name's Nick D. At gmail.com. That's actually my email address. Write it down. I want to hear from you. I want to thank the men's group for inviting me to speak. Gary and Scott did a great job of taking us out to dinner. Al-Anons eat a lot of food. I was at a committee meeting the last 2 days. I've been eating for 2 days. You know, we probably need another program for that food aspect. Actually, it's funny because my sister got me into this program. She's been in Al-Anon for 15 years. And she told me for 10 to come, and I go, what do you know? But she's been in OA for like 25. So, you know, I come from a long family of addicts and alcoholics for 3 or 4 generations on both sides, going back to, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years. People have died of their diseases. And the problem before I got to this program was I thought it was okay and that there was everything wrong with them and nothing wrong with me. So I want to thank Tom for sharing. He mentioned Mary Pearl, so I'll start with one of my favorite Mary Pearl jokes because it just highlights the insanity of what we do until we actually get recovery. And welcome to the newcomers. I hope you listen, you hear something that you can take home and use. So this Al-Anon lady decides to take a holiday, and she goes to Florida, and she's driving down the road. She sees this big old billboard, and it says Ocean Cruises, $100. Well, we Al-Anons love a good bargain, so she pulls over, right? Pays $100, so they walk her to the beach. They put a life vest on, hit her on the back of the head with a 2x4, and throw her in the water. This alcoholic comes by, sees the same billboard, decides, hell of a deal. So I'm going to do the same thing. He gets the same treatment, right? Life jacket, 2x4. So about 3 hours later, they both wake up in the ocean. And the alcoholic is going, hey, do you know if they serve drinks on this here cruise? And the Al-Anon goes, they didn't last year. So my official birthday, Al-Anon birthday, and I started going to online meetings a few months before, is April 23rd of 2008. And how do I know this? Is because I was broken. I was in pain. I was done. I didn't know what to do. There's I think two spectrum of Al-Anons. There's the ones that, oh, woe is me. You know, you have the big L over here, and then you have the ones that would actually want to kill the other people before they kill themselves. I'm kind of more on this side. So thanks to this program, I haven't wanted to kill people for about 10 years. It's a good thing. But I know that my birthday is April 23rd because I didn't know what to do. And I picked up the phone because that's what you guys told me to do. And my son was in the other room. He was high again, didn't know what to do. And they said, okay, grab a piece of paper. Hold on. I went to grab a piece of paper and said, write this down. I said, there is a God and I'm not it. Sign it. Date it. That's why I know the date. And I said, go put it on your fridge and come back to the phone. So, you know, came back to the phone. And then she said, now go into the room, ask him for his keys, and tell him you're not going to watch him die. And I did. That was probably the hardest thing I've ever had to do. That was harder than leaving my wife, which I did because she's alcoholic. But I came back. We'll get to that in a bit. Right? You know, that was it was by far the hardest thing I've ever had to do. And I did that because I got the tools of the program. I had no tools when I came in. Everything I wanted to do. And since one of my favorite character defects, the one I love the most, is self-righteous anger. right? Because I'm always right. I know what you need to do, and I'm going to tell you. Not tonight, though. But so it was a hard thing to do, and that's where my journey began. You know, they said go to meetings. My very first meeting was a Friday night candlelight meeting in District 16, and I went there, and it was all dark, and there was about 8 or 9 people, and they had these little candles. I thought they were going to chant. I hated the whole thing. It sucked. I was like, dude, no. But somebody at the meeting said, you know, try 6 of them. They're all different. So, and I didn't want to go, you know, so I had a friend of mine. She kind of took my hand, and I went to the Monday night Dublin meeting, and it was well lit up. There was lots of people. There was laughter. There was tons of recovery. I said, oh, I think I'm home. So that became my home group for a long, long time. And a lot of the faces that I see here are from that meeting, from the men's group in Livermore, San Ramon, I guess it is. And you guys taught me how to do everything. You know, I raised my hand. I said, I need a sponsor. I need a sponsor. I didn't know what a sponsor was, but somebody said, I need, you know, I never listened to anybody. So I wanted to get a sponsor. So I got a sponsor. But the first person that said, I'm not, you know, let's have coffee. Because you need to find somebody that kind of has your story. And so I was desperate. We'll have coffee. And we chatted. I got to know a little bit more about the program. Turns out our stories were really not similar. But that kept me coming back for a couple more meetings. And then I went to one of these, a speaker meeting. And I was in the back. This was in Pleasanton. I was in the back. And the guy that was up here was telling my exact story. And I go, that's my sponsor. So I asked him to sponsor me, and he sponsored me for about the first 5 years. It was incredible. We finished the steps. He was very, very gentle with me. I was absolutely broken. And by then, you know, I'd left my family. I was going to leave them to kill. They were going to kill themselves. I was going to be fine. I can't be alone. Right. So I went and found another girl. Right. And we'll get to that later. But it was, you know, I did the whole thing. And I learned here that slowly, if you're patient and gentle, right, and you take the steps, you will be shown what to do. So I'll fast forward. I did a fourth step. I found out I ran away. It's not that I didn't love my wife, is that I didn't have any tools to, you know, to deal with her alcoholism. And running away wasn't fair, right? And then I also did a fourth step inventory on all the relationships I've ever had with women, because my dad had problems with women. Well, he didn't have problems with women. He just loves them all. Literally. So I did a fourth step on my, and I found out that I've been dating the same girl since I was 5. I picked the exact same girl over and over. And who did I run away to? Same one again, right? And then somebody told me in the program, he says, you know, you're going to continue attracting the same people until you begin to change. No shit, really? What do I have to do? You know? So I went back, and the stipulations were really simple, right? I'm willing to come back. I ran away. I'm sick. I'm very broken. It's not that I don't love you. I do. But I can't deal with alcohol anymore. So if you get recovery and you stop drinking, right, then maybe we can figure this out. And so she found recovery. She was drinking herself to death. I mean, literally, you know, drinking herself to death. She found a recovery. She found a sponsor. She stopped drinking. To this day, she hasn't had another drink. She found a sponsor that was just like her. And after 3 years, they were cured. So today, my wife, and I love her dearly, she spins like a top all day long. She's restless, irritable, and discontent. She's like a Christmas tree in August, very dry. And what you guys have taught me is detachment with love, right? Because I let her spin in the morning. I let her spin in the afternoon. I let her spin at night. And I have good days. I have good days all pretty much every day. My son was the other story. That one was harder, but he's actually got almost 11 years clean and sober. He went to AA for, you guys taught me. And it's not because I did. The only thing I did was get out of his way and let him find his bottom, you know, to give him the dignity of what you guys told me. And thanks to his higher power, he's not dead, because nine of his friends are, including the guy that found him his way to recovery. So he went to AA for a couple of years, and he didn't like it because AAs are too tame. So he went to NA. And, you know, I practice Al-Anon because that's my program. That's the one that works for me. We both did the AA test. He failed miserably. He got an A, right? I got a D minus. And the only reason I don't identify as an alcoholic is I love to drink. We partied since, you know, I started getting drunk when I was 5. I don't have the allergy of the body, right? When I was 18, I became allergic to rum. I drank so much, I couldn't be near a room, I'd start puking. And then 5 years later, I couldn't drink gin. And then blah, 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 blah. At the end, I could have like 2 beers. So even though I like to drink, my body just says, mm-mm, you ain't doing it. Otherwise, I would definitely be in the other rooms. But there's no difference, right? My behaviors are the same. I'm ego-centered. I'm afraid all the time. And I don't need people to like me. I need people to adore me. I stole that from my sister. And she's right. So what I learned here was, basically, I didn't have any tools to deal with the alcoholic or the addicts. And I, you know, my wife's not drinking today, and she doesn't have a recovery because she and her sponsor graduated. And so I let her do whatever she does. And I have I have my life. And sometimes, you know, we come together, we go on walks pretty much every day. We walk a lot, we hike a lot. But other than that, you know, like Tasmanian devil, you know, I walk away. Every day I walk away, and that's fine. It's not that I don't love her. It's just I'm going to give her the dignity of whatever she wants to do. It's all good. 3 days before my mom died, and I didn't know she was going to die, I flew back from Nebraska, and I kicked my brother out of her house because he'd been living there with a drug addict for about 8 years, and, you know, HOA fines. The house was a disaster. It was like, oh, my God. And my mom was declining. I said, okay, I'm going to come back in 2 months. I'm going to go to Bolivia, fix your stuff, take care of your house, right? So I landed. I texted my brother. I said, you're out tomorrow. I'm changing the locks. I show up, and he's an addict too. He goes, and he's also got mental problems. So he goes, you can't do that. I go, watch me. And so I changed the locks and kicked him out. That wasn't so hard. And you know why it wasn't so hard? Because I kicked my son out first. Now, my brother, and this was 5 years ago now, because I kicked him out, and he's homeless, but he's the runner of Folsom. He's found a life. He's happy. He's on his own. He's about 40 now. And all the burden that came with being raised with an alcoholic father who was a raging alcoholic. This was my stepdad, raging alcoholic father and a crazy Al-Anon mom was lifted. And so in the last 5 years, he's had the dignity of finding his stuff. And all I did was kick him out. Right. So you guys taught me that. And then, so what did I do? I worked the steps. I had a sponsor. I got to a place where I was having trouble at work. My sponsor couldn't help me anymore, and he kind of was drifting off. So I needed to find another sponsor that had more of my experience in the workplace. And I looked around, and there was nobody. And then I found her, right? You're not supposed to mix genders, but hey, it's a guideline. My sponsor today, she's awesome. You know, she tells me the truth. She helped me a lot. I stopped working about 5 years ago. Because I decided it's a rat race and I'm not a rat. You guys taught me that. And I said, I don't know what I'm going to do because I was also a workaholic, right? I mean, I used to wake up at 5 a.m. and work till midnight and do it again and again and again and again and again because that was my way of escaping. I didn't have to deal with the alcoholics and the drug addicts because I was working. I'm busy, right? You have a problem? I don't care. I'm working. I got deadlines. Look at me. Look at me. No. And so so I stopped working, and then I got into service, and I started doing a lot of service. So today, I'm doing public outreach for Northern California, right? And so I gave, you guys like these? Okay, so these were on BART, right? And it's a higher power thing, right? Because Al-Anon, nobody ever has money, right? But somebody said, hey, let's put these on BART. And I said, why not? You know, I looked up and they said, you could probably do it. I asked all the districts on the BART line. I said, hey, we got this opportunity. We're getting a huge discount. Instead of $35,000, we only need 10. All the districts, find me $1,000. We can get this done in, you know, and it happened in 6 weeks. And we got the idea from Florida and Canada, but this was the biggest one. You know, we're the second largest world service area in the Al-Anon platform all over the world, and it's huge. So we got the BART thing going. Then we salvaged all the posters. I brought them to assembly, and I said, who wants them? And boom, they were gone, right? Boof. So I said, well, maybe we need to order more. And I said, well, maybe we'll need 100. Right, all in Northern California, maybe they'll want 100 more. I started putting feelers out. We ended up ordering 300, and today I gave most of them away. I have 3 Spanish ones left and a few English ones. You guys are in a big district, right? You need to do outreach. How many you guys meet in, this is a regular meeting in here in Kaiser? Okay, how many times have you invited all the doctors in the building to a meeting? Why not? How many times have you invited all the nurses to a meeting? Because outreach is really simple. I figured it out finally. I'm kind of halfway through my term, right? Do you get, you know, what does outreach look like? Basically, it's this simple. We need to tell people that don't know anything about the program who we are, what we do, and where we are. And that's it. That's what that does, right? And if they come to a meeting and they hear some experience, strength, and hope that will help them, maybe they'll start to get recovery. And that's pretty simple. So we started a couple of campaigns. So now we're doing the posters. All the districts are getting jazzed up. They're saying, where do we put them? I said, where do you want to put them? I took them to a group meeting last week in Sacramento. And while they were arguing about what to do with them, some lady comes up and she goes, can I have 2? And I said, where are you going to put them? And she says, well, I happen to work right outside the Kaiser call center that handles all of Northern California. And I said, I'd give you more. You know, because outreach is really simple. One of the things that we found from the membership survey is that 25% roughly of newcomers show up because of a referral by some kind of therapist, which is pretty good. We also found out through the membership survey, and there were about 14,000 participants in that, that 8 out of 10 of us see some kind of a shrink, right? And you know who you are. And so I have pens. And these pens are intended to give to the therapist so that when somebody comes in whining about somebody else's drinking, right? The therapist can say, here, scan this with your, and it's the same logo, right? Scan this, find a meeting, go, right? So if you, I only have a handful, so it's first come, first serve. If you get, if you come to me and you give it to your therapist and then call me, I'll get you more. Because that's what outreach looks like. And that saved my life. Outreach allowed me to, instead of obsess over what they were doing, I started to obsess over what I was doing. And that brings me a lot of serenity. So I do a ton of service today because that keeps me grounded. And you're saying, well, wow, how do I do that? It's not hard. And am I better? Hell no. I relapsed last week. I mean, big time, big time. We were on a walk with my wife, and I'm planning this trip for Spain, and she brings up all kinds of family crap, and then her mom and her dad, and, you know, da-da-da-da-da, and her dementia and her Alzheimer's. And in my mind, she just drank too much and bumped her head. Alzheimer's, you know, the Parkinson's. That was the diagnosis given by the doctor after 10 years. But she's basically going downhill fast. She drank a lot. She drank a lot. So she goes, well, you know, it's it runs in my family, this disease. And you know what I said? You mean the family disease of alcoholism? Oh, man, you should have seen that rocket. Like, I relapsed. I relapsed. I was like, and she was just, and so I just walked slower, you know, let her go about 50 yards, and an hour later, she was calmed down. But even though I work the steps and read the literature and do all the stuff that I'm supposed to do, right, I like my defects. Sometimes I just grab them back and just knock them over the head, you know. That's why I have to keep coming back. You know, I have to keep working this program. And I'm really grateful to be part of this worldwide fellowship because I get to talk to you guys. You know, and they say in the other program, the most important in the room is person in the room is the newcomer. And I learned really this is how I define the difference between an AA meeting and an Al-Anon meeting, right? And it's because I used to go to one where they used to let Al-Anon share because I live up in near Yosemite and there's not a lot of meetings. There weren't that we started a couple. But when AAs go to an AA meeting, right, they are there to make sure that that newcomer gets enough information so that person doesn't have to drink the next 24 hours, right? The reason I come to these meetings, the Al-Anon meetings, is so that for the next 24 hours, I don't have to give a shit if that person is drinking or not. And that's it. That's the difference between AA and Al-Anon for me. You know, they want to keep them from, you know, I'm going to keep you from drinking. Here's a bunch of tools. Go ahead, drink. I don't give a shit. I got people that are suffering without that problem right there. So you guys have saved my life. And by allowing me to share a little bit of what I've learned, I get to give back to a program that has really saved my life. And to me, you know, I practice a program of Al-Anon. That's what helps me. But you want a 12-step program? I don't care. Any A is a good A. That's my motto. I don't know what you practice, and I don't really care. I practice this program, right? Because this is what helps me. So how much time I got? 5-10 minutes? What shall I tell you? Growing up, I was born in Bolivia. My sister got polio when she was 2. I was mean and angry at her because she got all the attention. So I used to beat her up when I was a kid, part of the family disease. I was really, really, really horrible. And because of her program, she actually forgave me. I did a lot of bad crap when I was a kid, and most of the family forgave me. I did a lot of bad stuff before I came into the program. My relationship with my kids was broken. My relationship with my wife was broken. And when I left them all to kill themselves, I was the black sheep of the family, and nobody would talk to me except for my mother and my sister. Nobody on any side of the family. I was like a pariah. I was gone for almost 2 years. Because of what you guys taught me, I have all my relationships back. I've done all my steps. I've done all my 9 steps. Today, I have a great relationship with both my kids. I have a great relationship with my son. My son is sober. He has a job. He got married. He's got a baby. I have a brand new grandson. And all because I stepped away. And the other one, I forced him to go to Alateen a couple of times because we left him one weekend as we were trying to bring the marriage back. We left him one weekend and said, don't let your brother in the house. You know, we have a house in Danville, right? We put alarms in the house to keep him out. Seriously. So we were gone one weekend, lets him in. All kinds of shit happened. Things disappeared. And we said, you have no tools. You're going to Alateen. Dad. Yep. So we went to 3 meetings, and he said, Alateen sucks. I said, oh, you are too mature for that. So, fine. So now you're going to the men's meeting. So I forced him to go to the men's meeting, and he related to a lot of the men much better. And he went until he was 18, and they said, I'm done. I got enough tools. And then 2 years later, he was in Prague in the Czech Republic, and he picks up the phone, and he says, Dad, my girlfriend's best friend is on heroin. What do I do? I said, well, go to a meeting. He said, well, what do I do for her? I said, well, nothing. She's an addict. But he called me from Europe. He trusted me enough to make that phone call. You know, so you never know how you're going to impact somebody's life. I went to one of the first Growing Together weekends, and I don't know if you guys have ever gone that. It's not happening anymore. But those were meetings when there were kids and AAs and Al-Anons and fellowship, right? And we had made these little placards for name tags out of wood. And I was at an Alateen speaker meeting about 6 years later, and this little girl, who was now, I guess, 16 or 17, told the story of how her very first meeting, she got this lovely piece of wood, and that kept her program growing. And I made those little wood pieces. And 6 years ago, 6 years later, I heard about it. So you don't know what your higher power has in store for you. And I don't know what it has for me. So I just got to keep doing what I do. And today, I don't get to do what I want. I get to do what my higher power wants. So this last night, when I got to Tracy, I plastered the floor with all these posters, and I plastered them all over the back. And usually they have things about facilities that you're not supposed to mess with the rooms a little bit. So I went to our chairman and I said, I plastered the rooms. And she said, are you taking liberties again? And I said, no, I actually consulted with my higher power, and that's what he told me to do. And it worked out great. So I have, but I got to make sure I listen. I got to make sure I listen. So I just want to thank all of you guys for being here and for being part of my recovery. And if you do want to do any kind of outreach, let me know how I can support you guys. Because if you guys grow your district, then you're going to have more people in the fellowship, and your recovery, if the same thing happens to you that happens to me, your recovery is going to grow. And I love service. And public outreach, turns out it's pretty simple, right? Who we are, where we are, what we do. Here's a pen. Or here's a poster. Or here's a meeting list. Thank you.